Over a year ago, we started John's Gospel, and we had a break, and then at Easter we started a series of four messages just to complete John's Gospel, and so today is the last message in John's Gospel. So if you've missed any of the John's Gospel messages, you can go on the internet and catch up with any of the chapters that you want to study. So turn with me to God's Word, John chapter 21. And we'll start with verse 1 and read through to verse 25. The heading in my Bible is Breakfast by the Sea. John chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We are going with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat, that night they caught nothing. But when morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. And Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Then this saying went out among the brethren that the disciples would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. A few miles from my hometown in England is a beautiful fishing village called Beer. The name of the fishing village is called Beer, not because of the drink, but because it was an old English word for settlement, okay? So that's why it's called Beer. And it's one of the only few places in England where you can actually have breakfast on Beer Beach. There are three cafes on the beach where you can choose to have your breakfast, and it's a special treat for summer guests. When the weather is fine, you can take them down to one of these cafes for a full English breakfast. And the white chocolate, that's the one I normally go to on the other side of the beach. You can treat your summer guests when the weather is fine, take them down. The white chalk cliffs, radiating the sunshine and the gentle noise of the waves against the pebble beach, the smell of frying bacon are enough for you to relax in this beautiful setting. Well, the weather in England is not always sunshine, it's sometimes rain, but that's a special treat where you can take your guests. However, today we're going to consider a different treat on a different beach. It's breakfast on the beach with an important spiritual significance. The beach is on the shore of Lake Galilee. Sometimes it's called the Sea of Tiberias. However, it is the same place. It's important in this chapter that we stick with the pattern that John has already established in the rest of the Gospel. Now, so far in John's Gospel, whenever Jesus has pointed out one of the signs or the miracles, the interpretation of the sign of, or the miracle is the subject of much explanation through teaching. For example, after Jesus fed the 5,000 people in John chapter 6, verses 1 to 14, then he started to teach them the spiritual significance of that miracle from verses 22 to 59. So whenever a miracle was performed, there was a purpose for it, and John told us later the spiritual significance of that miracle. So the pattern that John has continued in his gospel is first to tell us about the miracle or the sign of catching the fish, and then to move forward and explain the spiritual significance of that miracle. So this is the pattern that John has continued throughout his gospel. Now, the conversation between Jesus and Peter concerns, first of all, the feeding of Jesus' sheep, which is his future disciples. Jesus had just fed his disciples with fish from a miraculous catch. Therefore, the subject matter of the final chapter is all centered around the spiritual significance of that miracle. The feeding of Jesus' apostles. So the central event is the feeding of Jesus' apostles. Now, Jesus feeds his apostles physically with the fish, and then he reinstates Peter as a representative of all the apostles so that Peter and all the apostles are able to feed God's people. So the last sign at the end of John's gospel ties in neatly with John's purpose statement in John chapter 20, verses 31. But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Now, by recording these events, John is giving the readers substantial evidence in order to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Now, there are only two sections in this chapter. These are Jesus feeds his apostles, verses 1 to 14, and then Jesus calls his apostles to feed his sheep in verses 15 to 25. So this morning, just for a change, we have quite a short sermon. So first of all, in verses 1 to 14, Jesus feeds his apostles. Now, Peter and a group of disciples went on a night fishing trip on Lake Galilee. Although nighttime can be the best time for catching fish, unfortunately, they caught nothing. But they were experienced fishermen, and returning from this night's trip, they would have been very disappointed. If you had been out all night and had no sleep to catch fish, and you caught no fish, you would have been very disappointed. But when they arrived in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore to greet them. And Peter and his team didn't know it was Jesus standing by the lakeside. Jesus inquired if they'd caught any fish, and they replied, no. And Jesus told them to cast the net on the right side of the boat, and they would find some. Well, they obeyed Jesus' instructions, not knowing it was Jesus, and so they caught many fish, and they were not able to draw in the net. It was truly an amazing miracle. Jesus had provided enough fish for 150 people to come for breakfast. But they were going to have problems bringing the fish into the boat, so they dragged the net to the shore. Now, suddenly, one of the disciples noticed that it was Jesus by the lakeside who had instructed them to cast their net on the right side of the boat. Peter, when he heard it was Jesus who was giving the instructions on the shore, got dressed and dived into the sea. He couldn't wait to meet up with the resurrected Jesus. Well, Peter left the disciples to bring in the fish, and he was more concerned about the person of Jesus than with the provision of Jesus. It's an interesting point there, because many Christians are concerned about the provision of Jesus, what Jesus is going to do for them, and they have little concern about the person of Jesus, who Jesus is. But on that day, Peter was not concerned about the fish and what Jesus had provided. He wanted to meet and spend time with the person of Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. And when they all arrived at the lakeside, Jesus had already prepared a fire and was cooking some fish on it, and he also had bread available. And in verse 10, Jesus tells the disciples to bring some of the fish that they'd caught. Well, you may not know this, but if you eat fish on the same day that you catch it, then the taste is very different. It's absolutely delicious. I remember a fisherman in England once told us that if we ate the fish that we bought from his boat on the same day, that it would taste better. So we tried it, and it was most delicious. Well, anyway, we're told in verse 11 that they managed to get all the 153 fish to shore without breaking the net. And Jesus served breakfast to his disciples. It was a miracle, and his provision to the disciples. What a wonderful breakfast it must have been. The sun rising over Lake Galilee, eating fresh fish cooked on an open fire, and sharing all this with the resurrected Jesus Christ. It doesn't get much better than that. Well, we don't need to read too much into the miracle itself. It's what follows the miracle and the teaching of Jesus from that miracle that is the important thing that we want to understand and absorb this morning. John closes the first section by reminding us that this was the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Third opportunity the disciples had spending time with Jesus. Now we move on really to the meat of the section, and that is verses 15 to 25. Jesus calls his apostles to feed his sheep. Now this passage has three main sections. Firstly, in verses 15 to 17, Peter is reinstated as an under-shepherd. Remember, he denied Jesus three times. Then in verses 18 to 22, Peter is told that for him, feeding Jesus' sheep will mean following Jesus to the point of death. And then finally in verses 23 to 25, John does not die but lives to record Jesus' words and works. John continues to feed Jesus' sheep through the Gospel of John even to this day. So we're fed by John's Gospel because John wrote it down. So let's first of all look at verses 15 to 17. Peter is reinstated as an under-shepherd. Jesus asks Peter the same question three times. Do you love me? Do you love me? By repeating the question three times, it reminded Peter of his three denials of knowing Jesus that are recorded in chapter 18. Also, the similar situation of being round a warm fire at the time of Peter's denial would have added extra weight to his memory. Peter was given an opportunity to wipe out his three denials by three declarations of his love for Jesus. Peter was in a public situation where all the disciples could hear him reaffirming his love for Jesus three times. The first time Jesus says to Peter, "Do you love me?" he adds the words, "More than these." Now there are two possibilities as to what these were. It may be that Jesus was referring to Peter's fishing business, pointing to the boat and the net. Jesus may have been saying, "Do you love me enough to give up your career and livelihood to serve me and follow me and work for me?" This may have been a final challenge for Peter. Was Peter prepared to give up his life's work in order to follow Jesus and feed God's people? The second possibility was that Jesus looked at the little group of disciples and Jesus said, "Do you love me more than your fellow disciples do?" It may be that Jesus was looking back to a night when Peter said, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble," Matthew 26, verse 33. It may be that Jesus was gently reminding Peter how once he had thought that he alone could be faithful and how his courage had failed him in the challenging time. It's more likely that this is the meaning, as in Matthew, in the verse that Matthew quoted, Jesus immediately predicts Peter's denial, and giving up his fishing business seemed not to be an issue for Peter. So, do you love me more than these? Well, the key issue here is that Peter is taught that loving Jesus involves feeding his sheep. That's very important, and I'm going to repeat that. The key issue here is Peter is taught that loving Jesus involves feeding his sheep. I want to give you a personal challenge today to all those Christians who have put their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. The challenge is the same challenge that Jesus gave Peter. Do you really love Jesus enough to feed his sheep? The greatest need in the church today is disciple-making disciples. By this I mean spending time with a new Christian or someone who has been a Christian for a while but has not been personally discipled on a one-to-one basis with another mature believer. Now we're going to have an opportunity to pray about that later on in our service. You might ask the question, what does it mean to feed Jesus' sheep? The answer is always in the text. If you read through John's Gospel, you'll discover that feeding these sheep will involve teaching them about Jesus' words and Jesus' works. Prior to the death of Jesus, Peter had no understanding and no message for Jesus' sheep. However, now Peter is beginning to understand that he has the message of forgiveness and eternal life to bring to God's people, as he teaches them about the words and the works of Jesus. So once again, the reader of John's Gospel can now trust the apostles who have been given the specific commission of feeding Jesus' people. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that Peter is told for him, feeding Jesus' sheep will mean following Jesus to the point of death, verses 18 to 22. Jesus tells Peter about the type of death that he's going to face in the future. It would be a death similar to that of Jesus Christ. By that I mean death by crucifixion. This prophecy about the death of Peter adds weight to the full restoration of Peter's life. The witness of the apostle could be trusted. What is important to us in this section is that we can trust in the lesson of discipleship. We need to go back to chapter 12, verses 23 to 26, and I want to quote these words. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." So the risen Lord Jesus still calls his disciples for this kind of fruitful service. God promises to truly honor his disciples, the disciples of Jesus, who really do give up their lives to follow and serve Jesus. Jim Elliot, the famous Christian who was killed trying to reach the Orca Indians in South America, said this: "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." Adoniram Judson, 1788 to 1850, was a Baptist missionary who gave up his life to serve the first North American Protestant missionary in Burma. It's now Myanmar. It took him 12 years to see his first 18 converts. But by the time he died, he had established 100 churches with over 8,000 members. And even today, the Baptist churches celebrate Judson Day to remember the day of his arrival. Now, we may not have the impact upon a country like Adoniram Judson, but whatever God chooses to do through us when we give up our lives for him will be worth it. Whatever God chooses to do through us when we give up our lives for him will be worth it. It's the work of the Lord. Finally, in verses 23 to 25, we're told that John does not die, but he lives to record Jesus' words and works. Here John makes a reference to himself in these verses. He makes it clear that not all the apostles will be called to lay down their lives. John was commissioned by Jesus to feed his sheep by recording his words. He recorded the words and the works of Jesus. So Jesus has a different plan and a different purpose for each of his disciples. And the way to discover that plan and that purpose for our lives is to be willing to lay down your life for Jesus. So that's the challenge, really. Are you willing to lay down your life for the purposes of Jesus? Well, there are two important applications as we close. The priority of Jesus between his resurrection and his return is that people should be fed through his apostles' teaching. Therefore, we should make it our priority as Christians to feed on that teaching ourselves. We should always make it sure, if at all possible, that we attend church and we feed upon God's word. If you want entertainment, you go to an entertainment center. If you want to come to church, it should be for the purposes of feeding upon God's word. Come and feed upon God's word. We should always try to serve other people by encouraging them to feed upon God's word. Secondly, if it's Jesus' priority, the feeding of the sheep, then those of us who know Jesus and know his voice and follow him must make it our priority too. We all have a part to play by using our gifts and our talents to spread the word of God to anyone who will listen. So the question is, will you commit yourself today to feed upon God's word, to read God's word daily, to encourage others to read God's word and feed on God's word daily too? If you are a mature Christian, are you prepared to spend time with another Christian to help them to understand God's word and to encourage them so that they might be able to do the same for others? So that is the challenge at the end of John's Gospel. Last week, the challenge was to believe in the Lord Jesus. The challenge this week is not just to believe, but to actually feed on God's word and to feed other people through God's word. So we're going to now pray. And first of all, before I come to the pastor's prayer, I want to just pray for you. Maybe that you're sitting there this morning thinking, I could help another Christian. I've been a Christian for a long time, but I've never given myself to help another Christian to grow, to feed on God's word. But that is the priority. If we want to see people grow as disciples of Jesus, we have to be prepared to spend time with them, spend time helping them around God's word. So let's pray first of all. Let's pray about that.